I want to try something that I do every once in a while when I preach. And if you want to, be turning over to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. 3 comes after 2 in case you're having trouble. Okay? Chapter 3 of Colossians. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to be looking at this chapter. And in just a minute, I'll tell you a wee bit more about it. But once you get there, just hold it. Colossians chapter 3. I don't know, but most of you look pretty young. But for old people like me, there used to be a television program on many, many, many years ago. In fact, it was so long ago, they were still black and white sets of watching it. I think they came back a few years ago with a modern production of it, but I don't believe it worked out. But it was called Candid Camera. And that used to bring a smile to your face and a joke, and it was pretty happy and enjoyable to watch. And maybe you remember the one about the man on a busy street in some big city. And that man was just walking around, and he was sort of looking down. And he would walk back and forth, and he kept looking like he had lost something, that he was looking for something. And people were sort of looking at him like, you know, is this guy crazy or something? But some people began to sort of stop and watch him. And they got to looking too. They wanted to see if there was something down here. So finally the man, the original one, he got down on his knees and he began to feel around and look. And he looked so disturbed. And people just... they got out on their knees too and began to look. And the crowd got more and more. And so eventually he sort of slipped away and left all those people just looking, and there was really nothing there. You know, many times we go through life looking down. We never look up. You know the story about the man that was walking one day and he was looking down and he saw some money. You've ever had that experience? Ever so often, you know, I'll see a dime or a penny or a nickel or something. One time I found $5, but I wasn't looking for it until I was right on it. But people, from that time on, when that man found some money, he started all the time. Everywhere he went, he was looking for money. And that's the way it is with a lot of people today. Looking down. Instead of looking up to the Lord, looking up to heaven, and wanting to go there. Now we're going to be looking, Lord willing, in this lesson, in our Sunday school lesson that will follow this one, and then if we make it back tonight, Lord willing, we're going to look at the third part of it. And so we're going to tie around one thing, one chapter. And I don't know about you, but that helps me remember it. You know, that mind's going. Sometimes I ask my wife something, and then right in mid-sentence I forget what I'm saying. And I say, honey, you remember that. You know that person, he had a mustache and he had no hair. She says, I don't know. I can't remember. So we're in bad shape. Just the two of us. We don't get out often. But anyway. Here's what we want to do. First 4 verses. We're going to look up. Then, in verses 5 through 11 in our Bible class this morning, we're going to look out. And then tonight, Lord willing, we're going to look in and we're going to look around. You see, I have 4 points, but I only got 3 lessons to preach. So I'm going to have to double up tonight. Or else preach a long time. Anyway, we're going to look up, we're going to look out, we're going to look in, and we're going to look around. So that's very important for us. Now, are you still there in Colossians chapter 3? Let's look at those first 4 verses. I'll read them out loud, and you can read along with me now. If then you were raised with Christ, now notice what he says. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Now notice this. He says, set your mind on things above. He's told us to look up, and he tells us now to put our mind on things above. And he says, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, as we come to Colossians 3, we are moving from the first 2 chapters of Colossians that dealt with the doctrinal issues. And you know, that's the way Paul wrote a lot of his letters. You've probably heard that before. He gets into the real meat of it there in telling people what he wants them to hear in the church at Colossae or the church at Ephesus or the Corinthians or wherever he was writing them. And then sometimes about halfway through, he will then begin to say, okay, let's apply what I've taught you. We've had some big discussions here. We've had some hard things maybe to understand for a while, but now let's see how we apply them. You know, sometimes I fear we teach or we preach the technical stuff, the doctrinal stuff, and we forget, well, how do I apply that? How do I put that into my life? How am I going to see what the Lord wants me to see? Well, Paul now gets to that, and he says, first of all, you're going to have to look up. You're going to have to put your mind on things that are above and not the things of this old world. You know, if you're looking at the book of Colossians, he has a lot to say about Christ. Book of Ephesians, he has a lot to say about the church. You put those 2 books together and you've got good reading. You know about the church and you know about Christ. But you know, if we get Christ, we get everything else right. If we can get him, right? Okay, don't forget that. And so it is in this 4 verses, we're going to see what he's talking about. Paul has been arguing that we are set free from those powers about us, from Satan and his work. So now he wants us to look up. When you look up, what are you looking for? I hope you're looking for heaven. You're not going to literally see it. Don't misunderstand me, brethren. But Paul had already said in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20 that since you died with Christ, now you're ready to look up to him. You're ready to look. And that's why Paul says, I want you to set your hearts on these matters. I want you to set your mind on this. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6? If you want to, you can run over there. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, he tells us, for where your treasure is, what? There will be your heart also. That's going to be where your mind is. You see, if my treasure is my car, my house, my golf game, my insurance, my savings, if that's all my life is, woe be to me. Why? Well, I'm not going to take those things with me, that's for sure. When I die, unless the Lord comes back, but when I die, I'll have to leave everything to my wife, my children, or to somebody else. If she's dead and the others are dead, it'll have to go somewhere. But I won't take anything. I won't even take a penny with me. And we got to remember that. If our mind, if our heart is on our treasures, if what we're accumulating upon this earth, then we're in bad shape. We have really got into a lot of trouble. Knowing that Christ is seated at the right hand of God provides us with a very necessary reminder. Psalm 110, verse 1, which is the most quoted Old Testament passage in the New Testament, the Lord says, "To my Lord, set at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Jesus is exalted at His death, and He's at the right hand of His Father in heaven. What's He doing there? He's interceding for us, right? He's looking out for us. And when we lift up our prayers, He hears us. The first imperative in our text this morning is, set your hearts on things above. The second one is to set your mind on things above. This literally, now listen, this literally means to keep on thinking as a matter of habit on things above and not the things of this old earth. The longer I live, the more I forget about this world and its problems and difficulties. And I am preparing my place for that home in heaven. For that's where I want to go when I die. I want to be there. I know that while I'm still alive, my old feet have got to be here on earth. But my mind and my eyes are looking above. Things that are above and not the things of this old world. Thoughts can influence actions. So if we place our thoughts above and not on the earth, our behavior is going to live this kind of life. Turn over, and it's right the next, backwards. If you go backwards, you're right at Philippians. And look at chapter 4. That's the last one. Now notice what Paul writes. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8, finally, from all that he's been saying preceding this verse, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever other things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, what does he say? Just rejoice in that. He says, meditate on these things. Do you ever sit down with your Bible after a hard day, or maybe early in the morning before a hard day gets to you? Do you ever sit down and just read a verse like this about the noble things, the whatsoever things that are just, and all that list that he goes through, and then meditate upon those for a while? Do you read your Bible daily? If not, why not? Don't you want the Lord to have something to say to you each day? Well, He's not going to do it audibly. He's going to do it through this book. And so you have to have your mind upon it, and you have to meditate upon it. What does it mean, Paul? All these things that are lovely, or all these things that are of good report, or any virtue, or any praiseworthy thing. Meditate up on this. Think about it. Brethren, I just don't feel like that we give enough time to read in our Bibles. We are worried about so many things in our world, and we see so much terror and heartaches and sadness going on. But we need to turn to God's Word. Set your heart on these things that are above, and not so much of this old world. Now, getting back to chapter 3 in our first four verses here, I believe that we're given something like four or five things or reasons to look up, to keep our minds and our attention on the things that are above. He says in verse 3, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ." When did I die? What's he talking about? Spiritually, isn't it? When we die to the sins of this old world, and we've put on a new life, we become a new man, a new woman, a new boy, a new girl, we become somebody new. We have a new life now. We have a new mindset. We have new habits. We may even dress differently. And we talk differently, I hope, sometimes. Because some people that I've baptized have come from pretty bad, rough life. And it's going to be hard for them to get straightened out on a lot of these things. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Remember that verse? The life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What did he say? I live by faith in the Son of God. I don't know, a couple of weeks ago I had to preach at Lake Forest as our preacher Ryan was gone. And I preached that morning on the subject of walking by faith and not by sight. And you know, when you sit down and really dig into that, it has a lot to say to us. A lot of people are walking more by sight. Their eyes are on everything but the Lord. But we're walking by faith. And I pray every day, Lord, help me to grow in faith. Help me to have more trust in you and not be so worried about all of these things of this earth. We can wear ourselves out worrying about those things and do no good whatsoever. So, we've died. Number two, our life is hidden with Christ. He's seated at the right hand of God to intercede for us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Number three, Christ is our life, verse 4 tells us. When Christ, who is our life, appears. John 14, verse 6 tells us that Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Are you walking that way? By realizing that Christ is our life, we can have a new attitude above anything that happens to us. If He is truly our life, we have no fear. If the Lord is on my side, what do I fear? Why do I worry and wear myself out? Number five, we will appear with Him in glory. That's what the other part of verse 4 tells us. Why should we think heavenly thoughts? What's so important about it, Brother Boer? Why must we think heavenly thoughts like you're talking about? Well, in verse 3, he tells us that we've died with Christ, as I've said. And we need to realize that. That means I can no longer live like I want to. I don't just do my own thing. I don't just take care of myself. I realize that there's more to it. Now, not everything that we think about that are heavenly thoughts are heavenly thoughts. Sometimes we believe that it's just thinking about religion. If I just think more and more about religion, I'm thinking heavenly thoughts. But that's not what Paul is talking about. And then sometimes we think, if I just think about the church all the time, that's heavenly thoughts. I'm looking above. But that's not it. Do you remember men, women too, who are married? Do you remember, it's been a long time ago since I courted my wife. I don't guess young people know what that word courted means, but we went out on dates. That's a long time ago. Lord willing, we live. We'll celebrate 60 years this December. But, you know, as I got to know Joyce and think about her more and more, that love just grew and grew and grew. And I got to thinking about her. And I got to thinking about, I want to spend the rest of my life with her. And the Lord has blessed us, been good to us. We've had difficult times, yeah. There's been times when I didn't know if I was going to have another church to preach at or not. But we've made it. And we're enjoying our retirement years just wonderfully. But you see, you remember what all that was. We just couldn't live without one another, could we? Is that the way you felt when you were dating, married, been together many, many years? What would life be like without you? We're together. Now you think about, is that the way I love the Lord? Do I really just think about Him and want to serve Him and want to do His will in all things? Let me close with these thoughts here. I don't know how many of you, even if you know that there is a book by this name, but a long time ago, back in the 1500s, there was a man in England named John Bunyan. And he was cast in jail by the authorities because he was preaching without authority. You see, he wasn't a member of the state church, but he wanted to preach. So they put him in jail. And usually, something like that, they just sort of forgot you and you stayed there the rest of your life. But he, in this jail, sat down and he began to write a book. And he finished that book and it was sort of an allegory. It's called Pilgrim's Progress. I don't know if you've ever heard of that book, ever read it or not. But it is a marvelous book in one sense of the word. It has never, I am told, been out of print since it was first printed back in the 1500s. But in this book, he had an allegory of different people working to get into the celestial city, or what the Bible calls heaven. It's like a little parable. And the main person in it was called Christian. And he was headed for the celestial city. And along the way, he would run into various people. And they had these names that were used. to try and draw him away from his journey. But he kept going. He kept headed toward that. One of the characters in this book, his name was Muckrake. Now what he did was just sweep the floors in places, got rid of the dirt and so forth. But he always did this and he would never, never look up. He just kept going through life looking down. And they pleaded with him and they talked to him and they hoped that he would listen. Because above him in the allegory was the one with the crown of life, was willing to give him if he'd just look up. Beloved, we can look down if we want to in life. We can get discouraged. We can get despondent. We can forget about things. Let me encourage you. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, look up. There can be a crown of life waiting for you. If you believe in Him with all of your heart, if you're willing to confess His name before this audience this morning, this gathering, repenting of your sins, asking forgiveness of them. And one of the men here will take you into this baptistry. There they will immerse you. And you can come up out of that watery grave as a new child in Christ. A new child of God. Don't look down. Don't go through life just looking at the things of this old world. Your car, your jewelry, this, that, or whatever it may be. Those things are all right in their place. But don't spend your time just thinking about them. There's something far better in the spiritual realm. But if you are here and not a child of God, why not become one today? Or, if you're here and you've sort of walked away from the Lord and been unfaithful, the church here would like to see you restored. Ask for God's forgiveness. Whatever it can be, the elders here will help you in any way that they can. Won't you come while we stand and sing this song?